Well, good morning again. Really glad you're here today. Continuing this series on spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. And today we're going to be talking about intercession. Intercession. And when we think of the word intercession, I want you to know that intercession is not just another word or a synonym for prayer. Intercession is a whole other dimension of applied prayer, of prayer applied. It's the release of a new level of boldness and faith in praying. You know, there are found in Scripture many different definitives of intercession. But when you put them all together, I believe the one best simple biblical definition for intercession is this. Intercession is to stand before God on behalf of persons or situations that cannot or will not come before God on their own. That's really a consolidated, simple definition of intercession. And I hope that you'll write that down. We'll leave it up there for just a minute. Intercession. Again, it's not just another word for prayer. It's a whole new dimension of prayer. Isaiah 53, if you'll turn there or go there on your devices, Isaiah 53. I'm going to look at a couple of different verses there. First of all, beginning in Isaiah 53, verse 5. Isaiah was a prophet. And he prophesied many times about Jesus. And in verse 5 it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." By his stripes, we are healed. And then in verse 11, he says, "He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion of the great with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors." Transgressors being us, being humanity. But what these scriptures are the introduction. This is the introduction of God's great recovery plan. His recovery plan to redeem and restore the boundaries that were lost when man fell in the garden. Jesus interceded on our behalf when mankind couldn't or wouldn't come to God on their own. Jesus interceded. You see, we apply the victory of Jesus' intercession today by standing and contending in prayer for others. The boundaries lost by Adam and Eve are now to be extended again to God's original intent. You see, when we see darkness closing in on circumstances or situations, we can intercede in the name of Jesus. And listen, only in the name of Jesus and only by his blood does hell have to back off. We need to get that. Only in the name of Jesus, only in his name, and only by his blood does hell have to back away. Philippians chapter 2, if you'll go there. Philippians 2, verse 9, beginning in verse 9. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him, Jesus, the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, walls of the enemy are broken down with the name of Jesus. Sickness, marital strife, personal provision, mental anguish, bondage to sin, whatever it is, can be taken before the Father in intercession for others. God's plan in heaven is worked out on earth when his people are willing to accept the access that he provides. You see, we should intercede because he interceded for us in the very beginning. When we wouldn't or we couldn't, he interceded for us by going to the cross. 1 Timothy 2:1. It says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Intercessory prayer requires understanding of what needs to be accomplished. You know, we don't just intercede in prayer just to hear ourselves pray or just to babble before God. When we go into intercessory prayer, we need to understand what needs to be accomplished. And here's how we understand that. It requires learning how to hear God's voice and responding in obedience to his voice. Learning how to hear God's voice. Notice I didn't go here. When I talk about hearing God's voice, we need to learn how to hear God's voice because it's in the Spirit and by the Spirit that we hear his voice. We need to hear God's voice and respond in obedience, knowing our place, knowing your place in the matter. And here's something else. Last week, I said something about prayer that you probably didn't really want to hear. What did I say? Anybody remember? Prayer is work. Prayer is work. And so interceding is responding in obedience, knowing your place in the matter, but it requires a long-term commitment. Well, how long, Pastor? I don't know how long. Long-term commitment could be short to us. It could be forever to us. I don't know, but it's a commitment to intercede for others. Until when? Until whatever God wants accomplished is accomplished. See, the awesome power and the potential of an intercessor is within the grasp of everybody here. Everyone who's a believer. But here's the problem. Or not the problem, it's just the issue. Very few people take hold of this. Very few people take hold of that power for intercession. So in order to put this spiritual warfare thing together, we need to understand a few points. And here's some points I'm going to give you. Three, actually, I want you to understand that it's helpful in this. And the first thing is that intercession has to do with praying for somebody else. Intercession has to do with praying for someone else. You know, the most normal prayers prayed, most of our normal prayers are, God, I need this. God, I want this. God, will you? God, can you? God, please, right? Yes. Isn't that right? That's kind of the norm of most prayers. And see, we're talking about getting beyond that. Intercession has to do with praying for somebody else or something else. And that may be someone you know. It may be someone you don't know. It may be a nation, a family member, someone in your church, whatever. But intercession is praying. Listen, it's praying on behalf of. Praying on behalf of. Second thing we need to understand is that intercession relies on the Holy Spirit's guidance and help. Intercession relies, it's reliant on the Holy Spirit's guidance and His help. Romans 8:26, let's go there for a moment. Romans 8:26. You guys are quiet today. Everybody awake? Well, somebody is, not everybody. Hopefully we can wake everybody up before we're done. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for or as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints, for us, according to the will of God. Okay, what does all that say? Aren't there times where you don't know what to pray? You know, that's true, especially in intercessory prayer. You know, we're seeking God, we're our spirit is stirring, we're desiring to intercede, but we don't know what to pray or how to pray. And He says the Spirit helps us in that weakness, for we don't know how we should pray or as we ought to pray. But the Spirit Himself makes groanings which cannot be uttered. Spirit language, things of the Spirit that we can't even speak or understand of ourselves, but He enables that. He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is. God who searches the heart, the Holy Spirit knows what His mind is, what God's mind is. And so He helps us in those groanings or those intercessions according to the will of God, because the Spirit of God knows the will of God, right? Even when we may not at the time. You see, when an intercessor comes to the point of not knowing what to pray, the Holy Spirit enables prayer beyond what he or she knows or understands. But listen, reliance on the Holy Spirit is more than that. It requires us to listen, it requires us to hear and to obey His voice like never before on a whole nother realm. He calls us to prayer, and then He instructs us what to pray. The Holy Spirit. He instructs us what to pray. See, a person may come to mind. A sense of urgency. You don't know what it is, but God burdens you with a person or maybe people. And the Holy Spirit will show you how to pray. The Bible calls it discernment. Discernment. Now listen, if this idea you get nervous about talking about these things of the Spirit, listen to me, please. The working of the Holy Spirit in our lives is not weird. Jesus' approach to dealing with darkness was with boldness. Boldness of the Holy Spirit's power. That's how Jesus dealt with darkness. And God and Jesus has poured out that same Holy Spirit power for the church today. Amen. We're called to be bold. We're called to see the invisible. And we're called to listen for His voice. And we're called to respond in prayer, to intercede. The third thing we need to understand is this. Intercession challenges humans' helplessness to deal with life's biggest issues. Intercession challenges our human helplessness to deal with life's largest issues. Well, that helplessness, Pastor, sounds pretty weak. Well, in a lot of ways we are. There's times because of our human flesh that we live in, we can feel helpless. But intercession challenges that because we're seizing what I'm going to talk about in a minute, the keys to the kingdom in intercession. Too often Christians take this kind of attitude toward the powers of darkness and evil. Here's the attitude too many Christians take. Well, This is just the way the world is. And whatever evil is doing, it's so deep that I guess the best we can do is just cope with it. True? Yeah. Well, listen, no, no, no. Don't just cope with it. Don't accept the way that that's the way it's going to be. Why? Because Jesus died for those things. He died for those things so that they don't have to be that way in your life. Nowhere in the Bible, nowhere does the Bible tell us that we have to be victims of unyielding circumstances. Salvation itself defies that, contradicts that, disputes that. Nothing, listen to me, nothing is beyond redemption in the kingdom of God. Nothing in your life, nothing in my life, nothing we face is beyond redemption. But that being said, there's a decisive issue to resolve for us. And that decisive issue is this: among all the people that acknowledge Christ as Savior, the Son of the living God, where among those can he find some who will accept and apply the keys to the kingdom? Where among all those confessing Christians can God find some who will accept and apply the keys to the kingdom? Remember, the keys of the kingdom are access and authority. Access and authority. We have access to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We have access to God, to the throne of God. And we have the authority of the name of Jesus. But you see, those keys, access and authority, have to be accepted and they have to be utilized. And when they are, God's redemption on earth moves forward. God's redemption moves forward as his people engage in spiritual warfare through intercessory prayer, pushing back darkness, warring against principalities and powers of the air in the spirit world. You see, we're called to facilitate through prayer. We're called to facilitate just what we pray in that familiar prayer. Let your kingdom come. That's what intercessory is about. Letting the kingdom of God come now on earth, just as it is in heaven. Engage in that circumstance. Engage in that problem, that soul, that home. Let God's will be done in our family, in our town, in our country, in our lives, just as it is willed in heaven. Release it in the name of Jesus and apply what he has already finished. Amen. Thank you, dear. I got one amen out of that. Hey, I'm trying to go slow. This is good stuff because it's right out of here. You see, we're not called to live out fate. We're not called to live in futility, especially as believers. Especially as believers. With a new birth, God makes sons and daughters. He makes us sons and daughters with a new birth. Not robots, not puppets, not pawns. We're joint heirs with Christ. We're ambassadors to expand the kingdom to his praise and his glory. That's what we're called to. And you see, the scope and the concept of intercessory prayer is summed up, I believe, in three words: intersection, intervention, and interception. Intersection, intervention, and interception. And I want us just to look at those briefly. First thing is intersection. Yeah, this is the idea of the point at which two roads cross. Intersection. But I want you to think beyond that. I want you to think like a person who's at a place of facing a very difficult and serious decision, such as choosing salvation or not. Maybe a young woman deciding on abortion or childbirth. Could be a vote on an important issue concerning the government. Whatever the circumstance, it's a critical, that intersection is a critical decision point. And what is brought in prayer, listen to me, what is brought in prayer before the throne can determine which way things go. An intercessor brings what Jesus accomplished on the cross to that intersection in prayer. I want you to look at the cross. Isn't that an interesting design? What is it? It's an intersection, isn't it? It's an intersection. Listen, as you intercede in critical situations, maybe examples that I gave or some you can think of, if things don't break the way you think they should, it doesn't mean God's not at work. You see, when Jesus hung on a cross like that, something like that, and he died there, things looked pretty bleak, didn't it? Disciples thought, this is it. It's over. We're done. The devil thought, I've won. And so Jesus died a horrible, horrible death on the cross. And so as you look at that with the eyes and the human mind, you think, that's horrible. That's it. It's over. That's what his disciples was thinking. But listen, what was happening was Jesus' death was God working toward a bigger purpose, toward his purpose. See, God was in action while Christ was dying on the cross. That was God in action. He was in action, doing his thing and accomplishing a bigger purpose in the world, in humanity. Two things took place in that event. First, Jesus bore the beating. He bore the beating in his own body to absorb the power of all things that break humanity. Jesus, in that beating and that crucifixion, absorbed all the power that break spirit, soul, and body in humanity. Sin, sickness, mental torment, failure, depression, and all manner of evil was absorbed by Jesus in that beating, in his body. And he didn't just take on sin. See, it's easy to say, well, Jesus died for my sins. Jesus died for my sins. That's true. That's only one little bit of it. Jesus died for sickness. He died for mental torment. He died for depression. He died for addiction. He died for perversion. He died for an innumerable number of things. Broken relationships. Broken people. He died for all those things. He just didn't take on sin, but he took on everything that results from sin or is broken because of sin. Second thing that happened at the intersection of the cross was that hell itself was brought to its knees. Hell itself was brought to its knees. Colossians 2 says, Jesus disarmed principalities and powers and made a public spectacle out of them, triumphing over them. Jesus did that. Satan knows he's done, but he doesn't quit. He wants to take as many people with him to hell as he can. And those he can, he wants to harass and torment all that he can along the way. You know, that's why there's spiritual warfare. That's why we're talking about spiritual warfare. The devil is doomed, but he doesn't quit. It's kind of like in World War II. World War II was over in 1945, but there were little Japanese islands held by the Japanese where fighting was taking place, where they had soldiers entrenched. And while most of the world knew that World War II was over, they didn't. They kept fighting. When somebody would approach, machine guns would go, rifles would go. They kept fighting, defending a war that was already over. It was done. 1945, World War II ended. Do you know when they discovered the last Japanese soldier fighting, thinking he's still fighting the war? 1974, almost 30 years later. You see, that's what the devil does. He was doomed at the intersection of the cross. That's where it began. He was actually doomed 3 days later at the resurrection. That's what doomed him. And he's been doomed since then, because Christ gave the victory. But he hasn't quit. He's fighting all the way to hell, because he knows he can get some to go with him. And he's taking, just like he took a third of the angels from heaven, he's fighting to take as many of us as he can with him. Intercessors intersect the issues at hand, standing for the Father, praying for those at the crossroads, interceding for people to take the right turn. In other words, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The intersection. That's what intercession is for. And then there's intervention. Intervention. This is just stepping in. Stepping in. Two sides are at odds. Someone steps in and intervenes to bring restoration or peace. This is when an intercessor, listen, recognizes the right given to them by Christ to step into a tough situation. It's a privilege. And it's done for the sake of the kingdom. For example, an intercessor knows of a marriage going south and the chaos and the damage that that brings. Intercessory prayer battles against the forces of division, deception, and confusion, knowing that no matter how bad the situation, God is capable of redeeming and transforming that marriage. Amen. Luke 1:37 says, nothing shall be called impossible with God. Amen. It'd be good for us to memorize Luke 1:37. Nothing shall be impossible with God. Nothing shall be called impossible with God. You see, he is capable of redeeming anything. Anything. Amen. Too many Christians see situations like that, and here's what they say. Gosh, I sure do hate that. I hate that. I really feel bad for them. Well, you know, it's great to have empathy, but let me tell you something. Empathy does not cause change. Empathy does not bring about change. Only intervention, intervening in the Spirit with the Spirit of God, brings change. An intercessor senses the Holy Spirit leading and responds in warfare prayer, warring against a spirit of division and pushing back the forces of evil. Intervention. And then the third thing is interception. Interception. Yes, it's just like when a football pass is thrown down the field and it's picked off by the defense. An action that's intended to do one thing is suddenly turned into the opposite direction. Okay, you get the picture? See, the devil thought that he won at the cross. But a few days later, his plan was intercepted. Amen? It was intercepted by the resurrection power of God's Spirit. Just like the resurrection reversed the activity of the demonic forces of hell, intercession does the same thing today. It intercepts the plans of hell, the plans of the devil. You see, intercession is fundamental to what the church is supposed to be. And I want to say that again. Worship team, would you come up? Listen to this. Intercession is fundamental to what the church is supposed to be. Intersection, it intersects. Intervention, it intervenes. And interception, it intercepts plans and power of darkness. It's what the church is supposed to be about. It's the reason, listen to me, it's the reason the early church flourished in the face of horrible opposition. It's how the early church turned the world upside down. And when they started, they were fewer than the number sitting here today. But they turned the world upside down. The transforming power of the Spirit of God flows through praying people. And as the church approaches its final hour, and it is approaching its final hour in history, it's time for the church to take its place and to tune into the voice of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit says this, I have drawn you to the Savior's life and grace. But now I want to shape you into His likeness as instruments of redemption. It's the Holy Spirit's word for us today. He wants prayers that touch heaven and change earth and break powers of darkness and expands the kingdom now. The church needs more instruments of redemption now. Let's pray together. Agents of redemption. Have you been redeemed by the Spirit of God? Have you been redeemed by the blood of Jesus? If you have, it's time to act like it. It's time to live like it. You know, I know there's a world out there that we live in. And it's tough. Everything around us is worldly. Everything around us, even in our own families at times, is pulling us to the world. But I also know this. It's the church's final hour. And it's time for the church to be the church. To step up. To start living what God and what Jesus has accomplished for us and in us. In us. Through us. God loves you. Jesus loves you and cares about your life. And as a Christian, with faith in Christ, we can't just live any way we want to and expect God to say, that's okay, I understand. Because He doesn't. We can't just live any way we want to and run to church on Sunday and say, okay, God, make everything okay. Make it all right. Only the power and the presence of God in our lives on a daily basis, keeping us in Him, drawing us closer to Him, pushing back the things of the world, which is the powers and principalities of darkness, only that is what is acceptable to God. No, it doesn't make you a perfect person. It doesn't. I'm not saying you have to live a perfect life. You can't. But you can live the life that Jesus purposed for you. And you can help others be redeemed. You can help others have victory by purposing in your life to intercede, to be a person of prayer. But just like I said last week, you can't register for a 10K and then sit on the couch for 2 months and go out and run it. You have to prepare. And the same thing is true of intercession, of having a life of prayer. You can't go from not having a prayer life to being an intercessor. You have to draw near to God. You have to have the anointing of God on your life. But I can say this. No, it's not for super spiritual people. It's for everyone who calls himself a Christian. But you have to prepare. You have to prepare to do war. Police officers, soldiers are trained before they go into duty. And God uses His Spirit and His Word and His people to train and to prepare and to equip people to go into intercession, into spiritual warfare. Because the war will not end. This spiritual war we're in does not end until Christ returns. And so we might as well engage and be agents of redemption for others. Agents of redemption in people's lives. And as the Spirit of God moves this morning here and tugs at your heart, is there anyone here that would be open enough and brave enough to, if you'd have a need for Christ in your life, just to lift your hand so I could pray for you? Is there anyone here that needs Christ in their life? Just lift your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, those that lifted your hand, would you look up here at me? You know, the habitual way, the normal way is to just pray a prayer. And so many people pray prayers. I know for years ago when I was younger, I prayed prayers and it did nothing because I didn't pray it with my heart. I didn't mean it with my heart. But if you just come to God with your heart, He'll receive you and He'll come into your life and take over your life. And so just pray something like this, but pray it with your heart, with your very soul. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my past way of life. I'm truly repent. That means I'm truly sorry for the way I've lived my life. I need you as Savior. I want you as Savior. And I give my life and my heart to you now. I confess that you are Lord. I believe that God raised you from the dead. And I receive my salvation now. Give me a new heart and a new start. Help me to live for you, God. And I'll trust everything in my life to you today. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer with your heart, you know, it's not about the prayer. God searches the heart. He looks directly into your heart. He knows if you're serious or not. So if you're serious, we believe, according to God's word, by faith you're saved and you have received your salvation. And so stay connected with the church. Get into God's word and read God's word to help you begin to walk in that new life. And He'll help you every day. Father, I thank you that you've given us the access and the authority, the keys to the kingdom, to live lives not in futility, not in struggle, but to live lives of victory and peace and wholeness. And so, God, I pray that for everyone here today, that they would seek your face in a new and fresh way today. And God, as we bring these tithes and offerings to you, we pray, God, that it would be an act of trust, an act of worship, and an act of dependence on you. And an act of love for you. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen. Heart Cry family and friends, it's offering time.